All right, I'm going to ask my son Ryan to come on up. Ryan, you want to come up? I'm going to ask Ryan to open us in a word of prayer, ask a blessing on the message, and then we're going to get right to it. Boy, that was a stellar Lord's Supper sermon you did, Benoit. I hope people were listening. That was awesome. There you go.
Lord God in heaven, we just thank you and praise you so much for the opportunity for everyone to be here. There's obviously Thomas is from India, but so many people from all over, and just great to be around saints with fellow minds and fellow beliefs. We pray that we would all take what we hear to heart, those of us who are young and still young and dumb, as they say, that we would understand that this is really something that we need to work on so that we're prepared for the future, and those who are older, that it's never too late to get things right and to straighten out and be in line with the word. So I pray that we would all, young and old, would be open-hearted and be ready to adjust to the scripture so that we truly are in line with your word. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Turning your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Everything we need for life and godliness is found in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what it says. The glory within, the amazing truth in His Word together allows us to walk in the newness of life as we've been called to. Every year I've worked hard in the last 5 years to bring a series of lessons on a particular subject. The first subject that we did 5 years ago, 4 years ago, excuse me, was the power of positive from the book of Ephesians. The second one was the power of sincerity from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The third one, last year, believe it or not, 2020, was the power of presence from Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11, or 11:16. That this year, it's been the power of perseverance. As a parent, you're a parent until death do you part, and if you've done a good job, the memory and the life that you lived has been instilled in your sons and your daughters, and they'll carry it on. Now, you don't stop being a parent after they turn 18 or they leave the house. You're going to remember that. And so we're going to work on that today. Luke chapter 11 or 15 verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons, younger of them, said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens by the name of the devil of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine was eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough to bread, and I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and I'll go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, well, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Sounds like good news to me. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a commandment of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. I get choked up every time I read that because I was the prodigal. I was the prodigal. Now, if you're wanting to spend a little bit of time and thinking and reading and chewing on the scriptures, there's somebody else that was the prodigal. It wasn't just me. Who else was the prodigal? The prodigal sons, the prodigal daughters. When I was a little boy, I grew up and my folks dragged me to the Catholic Church and I remembered I wanted to be a priest when I grew up. But I realized from that experience that God wasn't there. My grandmother was very involved in the Catholic religion and she kept house for priests, 11 priests in the city of Oakland, California. And I would go spend weekends with my grandmother. And those men that I put on a pedestal, idolized because they were holy men of God, I saw them in their home drinking until they couldn't stand up. And it was horrible. And as being trained to be, I almost said a courtesy clerk, an altar boy, I was a courtesy clerk too, but that came a little later. I got smacked around in the back room because I didn't know how to fold my hands. So the prodigal, and I truly had a love for God when I was a little kid. Little kids oftentimes do. It's their parents and adults that unfortunately spoil them. What'd you say, Mike? You know, what is it about being caught and taught? Yeah, more caught than taught. You need to recognize and understand that what Mike said was absolutely essential, that you need to do your own digging and research and make it your own early on. There's a lot of young couples in here with little ones. And it may sound a little offensive. I'm not going to do that with my kid. You better let the Word of God teach you because you may end up like me. Your boys have fallen away. I was going to ask Kirk, do you know something that I don't know? Where are you, Kirk? I was going, I don't know of any of my boys falling away. But I'll tell you what, there's been some pretty ugly bumps along the way. And I know there's some folks in here who have kids that are adults that have walked away from the faith for whatever reason. So it's important that you listen very carefully to how the father interfaced with the son. By the way, you need to continue as a son who has repented, humble the knee and become a Christian by being crucified, buried, and raised up with him to walk in newness of life through immersion. You're not done yet. You're still on that journey. So it's really important for all of us to recognize that we need to embrace the truth that we find in this passage of Scripture, because once we were prodigals, but now we are once again sons and daughters of God, not by right of being created in His image, but by the power of the resurrection of an indestructible life, like what you said, Benoit. We're sons and daughters by redemption. As this father put the family ring back on that boy's finger. So it's important for you to recognize that if your son or daughter goes astray, man, you need to take a hard look at yourself. And a hard look at what you shared with them that was the family of God. As again, Mike did a great job on that. So I pray that you will be listening, even though lunch is probably beckoning. This is the worst position to play. And thanks, Kirk, the worst topic to preach. Man, tell you what, I feel abused. But that's okay. It's all right. I will be a successful man only when I stand in heaven with my wife and my three sons and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants, enter into your rest," but not before. If you think you're a successful man or a successful woman because you got your boys out of the house, or your daughters out of the house, and they know how to keep house, and they have a good job and everything, and they go to church, well, you ain't done yet. But please know that. You're not done yet. I don't mean to be mean about that, but that's important. I'll only be a successful man until my wife and my three sons are in heaven. And I pray that if I have grandkids someday, and I believe in arranged marriages, talk to me later. I think it's important. My son hates it when I say that. Okay? It's important to recognize and understand that you're a parent till the very end. And then if you've done a good job, they're going to carry you with them into their families and in their children and in their children. That's how critically important it is. So my hats are off to Mike for doing a great job. Mr. Heinbaugh, where are you? Man, I'm talking about investment right now. We're going to talk about investment. That's good. All right, here we go. Are you ready? 11 billion cells in your body are committed to sensory reception. 11 billion cells in your body are used for, what was it? Sticking food in your mouth, seeing, hearing. 10 billion of those are for your eyeballs. Has anybody got a cell phone on them? Handy? This thing can be an amazing tool, but it can be a sick, perverted tool of Satan to destroy you and your kids. You can get anything your flesh desires on this thing. You better learn how to govern yourself. You better take responsibility, as you said, in regards to knowing what your kids are seeing and hearing. And you give your kids one of these at 10, 11, or 12 years old with no restraints, man, you're crazy. Just open the door and let the devil in and everybody else. You're saying, well, you're being legalistic. I'm not being legalistic. 10 billion of those are for your eyeballs. How many know pornography is addicting? It's an addiction. How many know that's true? How did Jeffrey Dahmer get to where he was? Anybody know who Jeffrey Dahmer is? You read anything about Jeffrey Dahmer? It all started with a picture. You say, that never happened to my kids. Man, you got to raise them up so they're walking by the faith of Christ. And so when the devil comes calling, they use the word of God to stamp him out. Amen. That's the only way it's going to work. There's nothing that's going to work except for the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And if they don't have it in them, if it's not in their minds and in their hearts, and they don't bring it to bear to shut him down, the devil's going to take him away. We live in a culture that is so violent and so perverse. What was the culture like when Noah lived? I think the words were what? Every thought was focused on what? Evil. And it's defined five times. Three times perverted, two times violent. Does that kind of fit our culture? It doesn't seem that way out here in the beauty of the Badlands. I love this place. Okay? I love this beautiful place. But they're burning the cities in Oregon. Why? Because they're godless. And that culture is oppressive and pushing its way into the minds and hearts of our children. Now, parents, you have an obligation and responsibility to God to raise up the kingdom from birth. And so we see here a couple things that we need to take a look at. We need to take a look at the heart of this prodigal. What's going on with this guy? Let's go back and read verses 12 down through verse 14. 12 through 14. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. The father divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey into a distant country where he squandered his estate with loose living. By the way, loose living is defined in verse 30. Loose living is what? Spending his money in sexual perversion. That's what he was spending his money on. And whatever would get him to that point. Reading on, and it says, verse 14, "Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, began to be impoverished. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." Now, I believe that citizen was the devil. When someone walks away from mom and dad's counsel, walks away from the truth, they're walking right into the devil's hands. There's no middle ground. There's no shades of gray. And so you need to be parenting from the moment of conception, preparing yourselves for the day when they come into the world. For the first 5 years of my oldest son's life, we were in a battle for our life in the church. The law was trying to crush the church as we were trying to preach the faith of Christ. And I'll tell you what, I was teaching full time and I was preaching full time and working with people as they would come in, evangelism. And so who got the short end of the stick? Who got the short end of the stick? My wife and my oldest son. If I were to do it all over again, I'd just tell him to get out. If you don't like what the Word of God says, get out. Instead of spending countless hours battling, trying to help people not leave the church because they thought that I was a lunatic for preaching the faith of Christ. Is the faith of Christ true?
Yes, it is.
When was the first time you heard the faith of Christ? Remember where you were?
20 years ago.
Yeah. 2005, we were sitting upstairs. I was preaching in Africa. It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Here's these two great men of God, Benoy and Jeff Hostetter, and I was preaching the faith of Christ. And that was the coolest thing. You were looking at each other going, remember that? And I saw them in the back and I go, "I'm going to have a great Bible study after the sermon." And they came over and they said, "Faith of Christ, what are you talking about? If you're not living the faith of Christ, your kids aren't seeing Christ embodied." So it's important for us to recognize that this boy had some problems. We don't know what the dad was about. We're going to talk about him a little bit. But where was this boy at? Well, he was selfish. "Hey, give me what's mine." Did he say that?
Yes.
Give me my share. So he was focused on the material world. He was discontent. It's not good enough here. The grass is greener other places, and that's a bait and switch by the devil every single time. He was hedonistic. What's hedonistic mean? Hedonistic. Does anybody know?
Satisfy the flesh.
Yes, absolutely. The greatest good is pleasure. If it's painful, it's evil. If it's pleasurable, it's good. And the greater the pleasure, the greater the ecstasy, the greater the good. You don't think that God hedonism is in the world today? You don't think it's got a grip on people? If you don't think so, your head's in the sand, brethren. And our kids are growing up in that culture. So we need to do more. Live the life of Christ. Because if they see it in you, whether you're in the pulpit, or you're at home, or you're recreating with them, or you're in the marketplace, or you're at the job, if your kids see you're the same day in and day out, then you're the real deal. But if you're churchy-churchy on Sunday, and then you're just who you really are every other day, you're going to lose your kids. They're walking. Now, how many of you know, and I don't want you to point fingers or give me names, but how many of you know people who've been in the church and their kids have walked away? Please raise your hand. Okay, some of you holding your hands down. Keep your hands up. Hands up. All right. You can put your hands down. Sorry, I was a teacher. I used to do that all the time. Bugs people. Sorry. It's important for us to recognize and understand that you need to live the life of Christ by recognizing and understand that you need to possess the faith of Christ, which comes from the Word of Christ, so that your kids can see Christ. This child somehow didn't get it. Maybe he picked up his cell phone once, or dad's cell phone, or somebody's cell phone, or he went over to a friend's house and watched what was on the idiot box. This young man was foolish and naive. How do we know that? Well, he takes all the money instead of investing it like we're told we're supposed to do, because it's God's money, and we're going to invest it to build the kingdom. He invests it in loose living. And we need to teach our kids those things. That was a great lesson, by the way. Okay? Appreciated that a lot. What's the law of the harvest? You know what the law of the harvest is? Take a look. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning there in verse 7 through verse 9. Galatians chapter 6. I've worked hard at teaching the law of the harvest to my sons. Decision, consequence, decision, consequence, decision, consequence. And by the way, I'd never hit my kids. Did I ever hit you with my hand? Okay? Well, maybe when we're boxing or something like that, but did I ever hit you in anger? Did I ever tweak you or slap you? Did I ever do that? You always had the Board of Education. The office was the torture chamber, and the Board of Education is that which that met out the appropriate discipline. But it was really only for two things, for lying and for rebellion against mom and dad's authority. There were other ways to discipline the kids when they would be foolish. But you know what? The devil is a liar. And I appreciate what you had to say. I'm sorry, I'm reverting a little bit. I'd say, son, you're a good boy, and I need to grow you up into a man of God. The devil's a liar. You're not. You're a child of God, and children of God speak the truth. You need to be careful and thoughtful, because somebody pulled you out of that mindset of who you are, and you stepped into the wrong place. So guess what? We're going to get you 10 swats. And you know what the cool thing was? Is after we were done, we'd pray together. And I'd share with them why. Because I wanted them in heaven with me. Didn't I do that? Every single time. Now that doesn't mean the devil still can't get them. I was working hard. You did a great job too, Mike. Wow. I had to talk to my son and apologize after, you know, you did your sermon. Thanks a lot, buddy. Wow. Jeez. And you come to these places where they preach the truth, you better just bring some, you know, one of those things for the blood and all that stuff that's going to be bleeding. I mean, if you're willing to listen. So, the law of the harvest, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in time you will reap if you will not grow weary. So the seed that's sown will determine what is produced. What are you sowing in the hearts of your sons right now? What are your sons and daughters sowing right now? It's going to come back. You can make any choice you want. You have free will to make any choice you want, but you have no freedom over the consequence. You have zero freedom over the consequence. You can step out into that freeway out there anytime you want, but you know what? You are not in charge of the consequences that will come. So you need to know that, and you need to teach your sons and daughters that. But obviously this young man was sowing his wild oats, and unfortunately it came back to him. So choice presupposes that there's a choice in the sowing, but there is no choice in the results. Consequence is delayed. If you make a choice to look at something that you shouldn't be looking at, the consequence is going to be delayed. That thing is going to fester. It's an addiction. It's a gateway drug. You need to recognize and understand that. And Satan's really good at using that gateway stuff. And so, also, the harvest will be magnified. What you did as a parent, in moderation, your children will do in excess. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to work that way oftentimes in the positive direction. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Yes, because there's a greater pull by Satan. When someone starts to ramp it up to serve him, the attack intensifies. Has anybody else seen that in their life? When you start to ramp it up, the attacks seem to intensify. Am I the only one? Or has other people seen that too? So when you really start buckling down and making it work for your kids, the attacks are going to come, but you got to persevere. You have to persevere through it. Don't give up. So if your son or daughter does step away, go, well, you know what? I tried my best. No, you didn't. Who knows what you did or didn't do? You still must invest in your children, and you need to double down. Double down. This Kaepernick dude. Does anybody know about this Kaepernick dude? Nike hired him with his bushy hair to, I don't know what he was supposed to do, but it was politically correct for him to do it. And then when there was pushback, what did Nike do? They doubled down. And now what do we see in our culture? They doubled down. Big money, big investment was behind this idiocy that we see in this world. So you are all evil if you're white, and if you're black, you're a victim. I'm sorry. That's not how it is. We are equal. We came from the same mom and dad. We're equal. But that's not what's being taught. Critical race theory, by the way, is sweeping our country. Do you understand that? Where did that all come from? From a fuzzy-haired guy decided to bow the knee and say, it's all anti-Christ. And it's sweeping our nation. And our kids are being swept up in it. Wake up. You can do everything right, but there's power, power, power that the devil's really pouring out on the earth right now. I think this is the end game right now. Now, I might be wrong. We might have another several, you know, millenniums, but I don't think so. I think right now we need to really be intent about raising up our kids. Now, I've heard some people say, and I'm going to get off this young man here with one last point, but I've heard people say, I don't want to bring kids into the world. Especially this world's messed up. You're Christian parents. If you're living by the faith of Christ, the world needs you and your kids. Who knows if you're not raising up another great apostle Paul, another Phoebe that's needed. You don't know, but God does. You raise them up right in the faith. Now the church has to really dig in, and it's got to be real. How many have ever been reading scriptures before that were all academic, and all of a sudden they're no longer academic? They're very practical. They're burning down Eugene and Springfield. They're burning our cities down right now. And all of a sudden the scriptures are real. And I'm not paranoid. It's right in my face every day. They want to destroy our civil servants' ability to keep a tranquil society. And you quoted that, brother, and I appreciate that. Why do we pray for kings and all who are in authority? So that we may live a quiet and tranquil life in all dignity. So that what? The gospel might go forth, that people might come to a saving knowledge of the truth. We need to pray for our civil servants. Brother, we need to recognize and understand, mom and dad, you need to, it's the long game, not the short game. You need to continue to power through. If your son or daughter steps away, don't give up and say, I did my best. You are not done yet. You're not done yet. You do the best you can do and get a hold of Mike and some of the other folks that have done a great job. I sure do appreciate the Suttons. I believe in arranged marriage again. Did I tell you that? I'm just saying. So, sorry, ladies. Anyway, so I'm just saying it's really important to recognize and understand that you need to really be invested now, but after they are out of the house, you're still invested. The consequence that drove this son to starving to death are the consequences that he came to his senses and remembered his dad. Did you catch that? He came to his senses and he remembered, you know, my dad had plenty to eat. My dad treated the servants, the slaves, so well, and this guy is treating me terrible. I'm starving to death. So what'd that boy do? Remember? He remembered his dad. He remembers what his dad really was. And he went back to his dad. Now I want to see a show of hands of you older folks. How many of you, and maybe I shouldn't have you raise your hand. I'll tell on myself. But I found that most of us had the same thing. You know, when I was 18, my dad was so dumb. He could not tell me nothing that I already knew that was dumb. This is the way it ought to be. Man, when I turned 19, I even got smarter because I went to college. And my dad never went to college, so I was smarter than my dad. But then I really got out on my own and I had to start paying bills and taking care of other people. And all of a sudden, you know what? My dad got real smart real fast. I don't know how it happened. It was like overnight. He got real smart real fast. That's what happened to this boy. It's important for us to recognize that our kids may be snagged by the devil. I know people who've raised their kids in a home where Christ Jesus was Lord, at least for the mom and the dad, as far as I could tell. And their kids went to a Christian school, great churches. And then they get up and they go to the university and they're gone. Anybody know anybody like that? I know people like that. They're gone. What happened? What about the dad? Let's take a look at the heart of the dad, because that's really where we need to go, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. The heart of the dad. The heart of the father. Let's take a look, beginning back in verse 12, and then we're going to jump down into a little bit deeper into the chapters, Luke chapter 11. We're going to take a look at the dad's responses here. That's so important because of what we see, but we're not going to see some things that are really important that we didn't see, that we oftentimes do as parents. So take a look here, Luke chapter 11, and we're taking a look at Luke 15, and chapter 11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger son of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth. The father divided his wealth between them. So what do we see there? He's a giving man. He's also a trusting man. Hey, I did it right. I worked hard. I think this kid's going to do okay. Well, the devil got a hold of him because he made poor choices. You see, the devil, that person that locked onto him, he hired himself out, he made some poor choices, and the devil got him. So it's important for us to recognize and understand, if you blame yourself for everything that your kids do, you don't believe in free will. You do it right. But if the sad eventuality happens, you're still the father and mother. You still need to be invested, but you got to double down. You have to double down. I'm going to tell you a story about that in just a minute, where I doubled down. What do we see about the father? He's giving and trusting. Look at verse 20. He got up. This is the son gets up. He gets up. He came to his father, but while the kid, was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, are you ready? This is where us older folks that have children who are emerging into adulthood need to really listen up. You really, really need to listen up. My firstborn launched into the university system. And I thought that guy was rock solid. We did everything right that I was aware of. Did I tickle you guys all the time and love on you guys all the time, Ryan? Did I fly you into bed every night? And when we talk about Bible verses, Ryan's favorite Bible verse was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And that kid rocks it. He's a warrior. All right? We did everything right. We had the Christian school. I was the same in the... Would you tell these folks that I was the same in the church building as I was at home? Now, you're not lying, are you? You know what happens when you lie. All right. Where's the office around here? Where's the Board of Education? He's way too old for that. Just throwing another tidbit out there. When they're about 10 or 11, if you're still swatting them, you did something wrong on the front end. I'm just saying. They're transitioning. 12 years old. If you understand cognitive development, 12 years old, you got to have it done by then. Otherwise, you've lost it. You start whooping up on them after that, and you're going to drive them right out of the house. Sorry, I went to another sermon. Wow. All right. So notice, this man is amazing in verse 20. The kid comes to his senses. He comes back to his father because of who his father was for him. And he knew who his father was. So he came back to the father because the father and the mother had established who Christ was. They wanted to go back where there was hope, where there was life, and there they would be fed, and they'd be loved and cared for. Now watch this, father. This is amazing. Dads, you need to do this. Moms, you need to do this. So the kid got up, came to his father, but while he, the young man, was still a long way off, the father saw him. What does that tell you about the dad? That dad was looking. There wasn't a day that he wasn't thinking about that boy when he was gone. And there wasn't a day that he wasn't praying for that boy when he was gone. He didn't know what that boy was doing, but you know what boys sometimes do and girls sometimes do. Because remember, I was that prodigal. Now some of you may have never grown up as a hedonist, a pagan. I grew up in Oregon. That kind of comes with the territory. Sorry. Unless you're born in the church and you have a dad that loves you. All right? So, man, I'm telling you what. When you take a look at this, you really need to get this point, and most people don't. He saw him a long way off, and he felt what? Compassion. How many of you know what the compassion of Christ looks like? I exhort you to go back. Compassion is the first character quality of the glory of God. You go back to Exodus. You take a look at it in Colossians. Compassion is the first characteristic of glory that should be manifest as to all people, but especially our kids. And that boy was going back, and I'm sure he was trembling, because he's going back, and he basically wasted everything that his dad ever gave to him. And so what did he do? He realized that he had sinned against the God and his father, and I'm not even willing to be worthy of being your son. That's the right mindset, right? To come back home to God. Isn't that the right mindset? Well, that's the right mindset to come back to. When your child comes back. But here's the right mindset of the father. Compassion. I want you to go and study compassion in the Gospels. Every time you see the word compassion in the Gospels as it relates to Christ, I want you to see that there's three things every single time. Every single time. First of all, you observe with your five senses the condition that a person is in. And in this case, it's your son or daughter. And I'm sure that boy looked pretty rugged. Now, you could be quick to judge. I gave him half of my estate. And he went and messed up. I can tell, man. I can see the bags in his eyes. He's been doing meth. I can tell. No way, you little jerk. I gave you half of what I worked my rear end off, and you went and wasted it. Now, I've seen dads in the church that actually did that. In the church of Jesus Christ. What in the world were they thinking? Well, they weren't thinking this passage of Scripture. And they probably weren't thinking about what they were before they became a Christian. I invested everything in you for 18 years and you've blown it. Well, that's a messed up mindset too, but that unfortunately happens way too often. Do you want your kids in heaven? How many want your kids in heaven? Listen to what Mike said. And if by chance one of them goes in a tailspin, listen to what the Bible says and what I'm sharing. You have compassion. God saved your sorry soul when you didn't deserve it and you weren't worthy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Wow, I was kind of thinking we're just Church of Christ stick in the mud. You know what? It's okay to say amen when it's true. How come the Baptists say amen and it's not true? And you hear the truth and you don't say amen. There's something wrong with that picture. That's all I gotta say. So next time you hear something and it's the truth, you can say, so be it.
Amen.
Thank you. Wow. Phil and I came out of the Baptist faith. I got tied up in that Catholic stuff and then I went hedonistic. And then I could keep my hedonism and still carry a Bible and think I was going to heaven. Because you know what? Doesn't matter what you do. Once saved, always saved, right? Man, I like that amen. And what happened? Why aren't we amening when the truth is said? When Benoit was preaching, we said amen. So if I say something that's the truth, it's okay for you to say amen. Amen?
Amen.
Wow, thankfully. Whew, it's a little worried there. Okay, so compassion, three things. Number one, Jesus sees the sorry condition you're in. No judgment. No judgment. Well, Jesus is the judge. There's no judgment. Discernment? My son's got a problem. Passion is you feel what they feel. How many of you remember before you were a Christian, and some of you weren't like me, you never got into paganism, but you were so far gone, you wanted to end it all. Don't raise your hand. That's what that garbage will do for you and do to you, and that's what it could do to our kids today. So you need to put yourself in their shoes. Compassion means you put yourself in their heart, in their mind. They're absolutely ashamed, absolutely destroyed, and they're hoping on hope that you'll receive them back. And the worst thing you can do is yell and scream at them. The best thing you can do is what we're about to read. Yeah, touch them. How many seconds?
20.
More than that. Okay? And you don't stop touching them. The compassion here that he's talking about in verse 20, it says, he ran to him and he embraced him and kissed him. You know what that boy thought when dad was running after him? That was not cultural in the Jewish tradition. I am the patriarch, you come and grovel at my feet. That's how it was. But this is a Jewish man, according to the context, Jesus is preaching in that context. That guy gets up and he runs to his kid. What's that boy thinking? He's not thinking, bat, dad's got a bat behind himself, he's going to beat me. He's going, man, I've never seen dad do that before. He's coming to me. And what does he do? It says he embraces him. Doesn't mean kiss him, it means to hug him. I can just imagine the bear hug that that dad gave him. And he's probably weeping too, it doesn't say that. And you say, well, you can't add to the scriptures. Yes, I can, because I've been this dad. Man, I'm telling you what, the university system's really dialed in. It was dialed in back in 82 when I was going to school. I was taught how to sabotage logging equipment in Oregon when I was a senior in college, reading a book called, what are you laughing? I didn't do it. called Sorry, Ryan. I had never did it, son. Called the Monkey Wrench Gang. They still use it today in eco-terrorism. It's still a textbook today. You can use it and it'll give you everything you need to know on how to destroy logging equipment anywhere of any type. That's the kind of school I was in. And I remember I took a early American literature class and Dr. Cook was a great Dr. Cook. Everybody loved Dr. Cook. He was so amazing. He knew everything about all things. And so when he got to talking about early American literature, you know what? We're just going to read a bunch of stinking hypocrites. They're talking about some God you can't see, can't hear. And so if you're a Christian right now, just shut your mouth. I don't want to hear any of your dribble on the papers. And if you want to say something about your religion, I want you to stand up and own it. One kid did. That guy wiped him out. That was back in 82. It's gotten a lot better now. Oh, it's just perfect now. They just love Jesus down there at the universities. They do. So just send your kids off. You better give them some spiritual Kevlar. you know, and you better get them locked and loaded with their spiritual M16, so when they go in there, they can not only take it, but they can, with great reasoning and great compassion, share the truth of Jesus Christ. You need to have that. Well, that was happening. My son goes off to college, and man, I'm telling you what, he had some different ideologies than he had when he left home. And it scared me to death. Saying, well, you're just a crummy dad. Be careful. Because if you judge, guess what happens? Be careful. You better read Romans 2 before you make that statement. You know, what's the worst thing is that if one of your kids tailspins and then you were judging on me, oh man, you're in trouble. Not with me. Not me. It's important for us to recognize something. That's when I needed to double down. That's when my wife worked together with me to double down. Praying, fasting. We've been praying for our kids all the time. I keep praying for my son's wives. I don't know who they are. But we started praying and fasting. I started learning more about some of the philosophies that I heard coming from his direction so I could understand their source, so that I could sit down with him and talk with him. But you know what? He's off. Now, we had a great relationship so we could talk. So I said, hey, Drew, let's get together and have coffee. And, of course, he was all about that. And I said, you know what? We just need to have a weekly coffee date. And that's all it was at the beginning. It's a weekly coffee date, talking about things, listening. And then as I listened to where he was at and the things he was learning and the people he was with, I started to ask some questions. But remember, I was rebuilding that bridge, because when he went, he was thinking, I'm out of here, which is okay. Rebuilding that bridge. And this is no reflection on you, Ryan, but Ryan knows this because you told Mike this. So I heard Mike told me, you told me this. So I have a great relationship with my son Andrew now. We talk about everything and anything. And we cried together when we both came to the realization that the devil had duped him and me. And I didn't have the conviction I have now. I'm a dad until I pass, but I pray that I'll be a dad in their hearts the rest of my life, and they'll share with their children who I was. As long as they're alive and as long as I'm alive, I'm their dad and I'm invested. So guess what? We still have a coffee date. My son Andrew is down in San Antonio, Texas, doing a great job in a bank and moving up. He's asking me about what choices he should make and what he should do that he wasn't there before. And we have our coffee together, 2D. For 5 years, we worked every Friday, had a little coffee shop, little coffee, and he was helping with the bulletins in the church, and he was investing himself in leading the congregation in singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, teaching the congregation. That guy is amazing, and he's a concert pianist. He's amazing, and guess what? He was nowhere that year, first year in college. But he's now back. He's invested in a church down there, using his talents, gifts, and abilities. He is committed. Now what happened? Mom and Dad prayed and fasted. Mom and Dad thought about him every day, concerned for him every day, prayed for him every day, and I invested. That's what this dad did. You take a look. That dad was praying for him and fasting for him, and you're saying, you can't add that. I'll tell you what, if it happens to you, I know what you'll be doing if you're a man or woman of God. Can I get an amen on that one? That's what you'll be doing. That's what this guy was doing. And his son comes back, and he ran to him. So my son, Andrew, and I cry together. We laugh together. We hug, usually more than 20 seconds. Whenever he comes home, we always go back to that old coffee shop. We talk about what we're doing in the church. We're talking about what we're learning in the Lord. Whew. Man, am I done yet? No, I'm not done yet. And you're not done yet either. Brethren, it's so important for you to recognize and understand. That scared the life out of me because I was going to stand there in line and I'm going to see my boy on the other side with the goats. I got a picture in my head. And the picture in my head is I'm standing in line waiting to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And my picture is I can see my boys either up front or behind in this line, the sheep. The law does not work. The law kills the compassion of Christ produced by the faith of Christ from the Word of God and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is what drew this boy right back in so that he was now secure in the family once again. And I'm not talking only about the Scripture here. I'm talking about in my life. Now, Kirk didn't know that. But God did. My prayer is today that I'll be a successful man and I'll hear well done and good and faithful servant, not only for myself, but for my lovely bride and my three sons. But there's some things that this scripture does not actually say right up front. But I wanted to go back and take a look. The son was always on his mind and heart while he was still a long way off. We got that one. In constant prayer for his son, thinking about someone when you pray, you'll have them on your heart. By the way, Jay Wilson taught me this a long time ago when I still had hair. I was really thick up here and really thin down here. That was a long time ago. And so he showed me, he goes, and I was talking about prayer. And he goes, well, look, I'll show you what I do, and here's where I got this idea. He turns to me, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, says, pray for all the saints. And of course, his list is a bazillion miles long. And so, my list isn't quite a bazillion miles long, but it's two pages, and I got all the law enforcement officers in our community on a page as well. Why? They're ministers of God, whether they know it or not. We need to back them up with our prayer. Amen? Amen? Pray for all who are in authority. Get involved in your city councils, but I'm not going to go there. I would love to. Invite me back. Mr. Heimbaugh, invite me back. You'll see politics oozing out of this guy too. But it's all in the context of the Word of God. All right. Well, what else do we see about this amazing man? He looked beyond the sin and he looked to eternal life. He looked beyond the sin and he looked to the eternal life. What did the Son of God do for you? He looked beyond the sin. He looked beyond the cross to the joy set before him, which was you and I getting to heaven. You're not worthy of heaven and I'm not worthy of heaven without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, if you didn't say amen and you think otherwise, we need to do a Bible study. Just how that is. Well, there's a couple other things. Oh, before we leave this one last part, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. Remember how that boy came to his senses? How many remember that boy came to his senses, right? Man, I hope you get this one dialed in. I have this one dialed in. It's memorized. But more than memorized, more than know where it's at, I'm choosing to live it with everyone, but my son Andrew taught me this one. Are you ready? Here we go. This should be your life for every person you meet. There's no law in it, only the life of Jesus Christ manifest in your body, and that's what needs to happen for our kids and everybody else. Are you ready? Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. You know, when our kids mess up, we want to tell them what for and how it should be done. And we're willing to stand our ground because we're right and they're not. That is called the stupid parent's attack plan. It doesn't work. Phil Sutton, would you stand up? I was going to have Phil Sutton sing a song earlier, But he's not going to sing a song now. He's going to do something. Come up here. Okay. He's not preaching either. I'm not going to let him. I know how he preaches. Now you got to turn to your face at me. Is everybody seeing him? I want you. Were you a Boy Scout when you were a kid?
I was not.
You weren't?
Nah.
Okay.
Let me sit back down.
No, but okay. No. Did you ever raise your hand when you're in the Baptist church?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, keep your hand raised up there. Well, you're pushing back. No, you're even more so. Why are you doing it now? Why are you pushing back? I just told you to put your hand up. Okay. See, you could tell it's kind of like pulling the trigger. Oh, I flinched. See? Now, why do you push back? I don't know. That's good. It's okay that you don't know. But did you know that if I got everybody up here and they've never seen that before and I asked them to do that, unless they're not cognitively whole, you're cognitively whole. Everybody know now, your preacher is cognitively whole. It's great. See? That they would push back. Yeah. Some would go, hey! Knock it. Others would go, like you did, okay, I'm going to give him a little bit of grace. Okay, you may be seated. You know what that's called? That's called push your ship. You want to push your kids away? Quarrel with them. Because you're right and they're wrong. Now, it may be true that you're right and they're wrong, but you know what? You don't win them, you'll lose them. And when you're working with people, man, you got the truth nailed down. We're Church Christ. We're Christ Church. We got it all nailed down. We're going to go out and we're going to get them. Okay, guess what? You win the argument, but you lose the soul. Good job. Good job, the devil says. So it's important for us to recognize and understand. Don't be quarreling. That's what it say here. Keep reading on here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. But the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. I know our kids have never wronged us. My sons have never wronged me. It's great. Wrong. Okay? But guess what? Patient when wronged. Reading on, it says, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. What are the words there? Don't quarrel. Be kind. Be patient. Know how to teach. By the way, how many of you know that the word educate is not what most people are taught? What does the word educate mean? Well, when people get up there and tell you how it is, poking stuff in your head. That's what educate means. And you know what an educator is? One who has the sadistic, I get to poke it into your head. That's not what educate means. You know what the word educate means in the Greek? It means to draw out. You don't have to tell somebody they're making a stupid mistake. That kid knew he was making a stupid mistake. What do you need to draw out of him? His reconciliation to you. How do you do it? Quarreling or kind, patient, and gentle. How does God do it? How are you saved? How are you brought to repentance? Read Romans 2. It's by the kindness of the Lord that we are drawn to repentance. If it works for God, that's what you need to do. Amen? Okay, good. Now, we're going to close real quick. Things the Father did not say or do. He did not judge or condemn His Son. He did not become angry or guilt His Son. He did not reject His Son. He did not argue with His Son. There is a lifestyle that is contrary to biological design in men and women. How many know what I'm talking about who are adults? There is a lifestyle that's contrary to the biological function of a man and a woman. Romans chapter 1 talks about this. I know two people that raised their kids up in the church, and their kids, when they walked out, they walked into that lifestyle. One parent, well, kids will be kids. Wrong. That's messed up. The other is, I'm not even going to look at her. Wrong. You're saying, how can you say that's wrong? Are we going to go with the scriptures, what the scriptures say as the life that we need to have for them? It's important for us to recognize and understand that this world is really going down the tubes quick, and our young people are getting it in full force. like trying to take a drink out of a, yeah, thank you. Yeah, out of a hose. How many of you ever did that before? That's what this is doing, you know. You pick that thing up and you're getting full force. You need to recognize and understand that you need to go back to the scriptures and double down and be what this guy was and be what this guy wasn't. Does that make sense? What can we do specifically? Desire the reconciliation between God and your child. But that you know that that reconciliation probably needs to be facilitated in part by you. Pray for reconciliation for your son. Fast, or daughter, fast for it. Seek reconciliation. You know what? Our brother Mike did a great job. I got convicted by this Mike over here, and I got convicted by that Mike over there, and I thought I was really putting the pedal to the metal and making it work and investing all the time and energy. But you know what? Sometimes we need to recognize and understand then that when we talk about seeking reconciliation, maybe it's something that we did that we didn't even know we were doing. Maybe it's something we weren't doing that we needed to be doing. But you know what parents oftentimes do? Much like administrators in public schools, because don't damn me, I was a public school teacher. A bunch of the young people or the mid-age people in our church are my former students, so I was at least living the life enough they asked questions after they graduated. But the reality is this, is that when we take a look at this, we need to recognize that there might have been something we didn't do, or there might have been something that we did do that has caused our children to step away from the church of the living God. Examine what you may or may not have said or done to cause the walking away. Read, read, read. Pray, pray, pray. Think, think, think. What did I miss? You may not have missed anything. The devil might have got him. The response is the same. But if you're the problem, they're not going to come if you're the problem. If you're not the problem, praise the Lord. You can be the solution. But if you are the problem, you need to solve the problem first to get to the solution. Can I get an amen on that one? They're not going to come back if you're the roadblock. If you're the roadblock, you need to do something. And so spend time to reconnect. Be what they need you to be. Build trust. And you're saying, well, that's not in the Bible. No, but I applied those things from what I saw in the Bible with my son Andrew. And my relationship with my son is now a brother in Christ, a friend, a confidant, and we're growing together and building the kingdom together. So it's important to recognize that I was the roadblock. I went back and I looked at my history. I looked what I was doing. And I was reading all these materials. And when there is a dad that's absent, even though he's having quality time, don't be trapped by that. Quality time. The devil says, spend 2 minutes of quality time and everything will be fine. No, you need to be the presence in their life with mom. Spend time to reconnect, be what they need to be to build that trust. And I worked on making connections with my son. Be vulnerable and admit ownership of sin or poor parenting. When I saw what I had not done for my son, I confessed that I was not the father that he needed. My son Andrew is an artist. I draw stick figures. My son is a concert pianist. I'm nothing in that respect, okay? He doesn't like guns, and guns is my middle name, okay? He doesn't like trucks, I like trucks. See, we were so opposite in who we were, and I let that be a division. So I now have been going to concerts with my son every time or opportunity I get. I used to think they were stupid and dumb. I like them. I mean, I like him. You get all dressed up. You go out to dinner, right? This is what you do, right? You got dinner, and then you go hear the symphony. And the first time I went to a symphony, it was great. This, my son, Andrew, knows all this thing about Bach and Beethoven and Trotsky and Lotsky and Finansky. I don't know. All those skis, you know, he knows all of them. And he goes, Dad, this is a great one. I'm so glad that you took me to this one because this first piece that they're doing, you're going to be able to hear bumblebees and you're going to be able to hear. And I'm thinking, that's really good, son. That's really good. Right? I was thinking, wow, what do we have for dinner? You know? And so I was sitting there, we were all dressed up, looking really good, and we had a great dinner, we were chatting, you know, because we already had been having many coffee dates, we're kind of getting back in the groove. And then I went, and I'm telling you what, I heard the bumblebees! I heard the birds! I couldn't believe it! I went, I heard them! He goes, yeah, I know! I go, this is cool, man! I couldn't believe it. And then he goes, you know the next one? There's going to be this battle, Dad. I know you like war. It's going to be, well, he didn't say because it's going to be, shh, quiet. We did little glasses. Okay. He goes, you're going to love this one, Dad. There's this battle, man. And it's just going bad. And you can hear when the bad guys are winning. And you can hear when the good guys are winning. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, I heard the bumblebees. Oh, my goodness gracious, it was right. I was hooked. So guess what we do? My son and Andrew, you know what we do? We go to concerts. We go to dinner. You know what Ryan and I do? Shoot guns and drive our trucks. So, yeah, my last son, Jake, I would tell a story, but I'm way out of time. And you're probably going, whoo, I'm so glad you're not telling about Jake. Okay? He's into bodybuilding. I haven't bonded with him yet. But the one thing, he's becoming a medic, so if I did try to bond with him, if I really got damaged, he could fix me. So maybe there's a ways I should. We bond in a whole bunch of different ways. He's a great kid, too. You know what? You're a parent until death do you part. And then if you've done a good job, then you are in their heart, as was said. You've won their heart, and you are carried in their lives, and they will be, for their children, what you were, the embodiment of Jesus Christ. I close with this. My son Ryan and I went to Belarus in 2013. And we went to this orphanage when there's these little kids running around, these little boys. And my son Ryan picked them up and he flew them like an airplane. And he crash landed them just like I used to do. And he tickled them. And that little Belarusian boy was like, wow, he was so in love with my son Ryan. My Ryan caught it. I was choked up over there. I get choked up just talking about it. Listen to Mike. Listen to Steve. Listen to Mike. Listen to me as I preach the word of God and invest yourself. Double down now because the devil's doubling down, maybe even tripling down. Now's the time. Now's the time. You make that investment. There's nothing more important than the souls that God gave you to bring to heaven. Amen. Thank you very much.